That process of becoming secure, it's something that everyone can get started on today, no matter what your dating experience is at this point or your relationship status. It's not something you have to wait to enter a relationship to find. It's not something that is only available once you're in the dating process. I always like encouraging women, it's like, look at just where you are right now in your current non-romantic relationships, whatever is on your plate, there's a new way to relate to that. And that's going to set the foundation for you to enter the dating scene or refresh the dating scene in a way that's going to be more effective.
This is episode number 600. Yay, we're celebrating 600 episodes here with Madeline Charles. She has had me on her summits so many times, and I am having her on my podcast. I'm so excited to talk about the keys to becoming more secure in love. And we're going to have her up in just a minute, but I wanted to welcome you back to Last First Date Radio, where we believe it is never too late to go on your last first date. And to support your journey to lasting love, I have written two books. The first one is Becoming a Woman of Value, How to Thrive in Life and Love. This book contains 30 tips, chapters, stories. All of them have exercises on how to really become the woman that you always wanted to be, like to uncover how to thrive. We spend so much of our time surviving and not thriving. And so this is not just about single people finding love. It's really about any woman, and actually men can benefit too. And the second book is called Choice Points in Dating. And I wrote this book because I kept hearing, we have no choice. I have no choice in how I date, and I have no choice in who I date. And it's my background. It's my history. I've just always been attracted to narcissists. And I want you to know that you have choices. And I wanted to empower people to make healthier decisions at every stage in dating and relationships. Both books are available on Amazon for Kindle and paperback, and Choice Points is now available as an audiobook. Yay! This week's tip from the Woman of Value book is step number 7, be the love you wish to find in the world. And this to me was such an eye-opening realization that if we want more kindness, be kinder. If you want more generosity, be more generous. It seems so simple, but it really is about being the person that you want to attract, embodying the qualities that you would like to find more of out in the world. And so my challenge to you this week is, if you have any area in your life where you've always said, you know, I want a man who makes more money than me, what are you doing to make more money in your life? Like any area where you want to work on, just do that little step of self-improvement. Before I bring Madeline on, I want to invite you to join my Facebook group. It is an awesome space for women over 40 who are looking to find love, to maintain relationships. We have many people who stay on after they have found a relationship because it is such a supportive place, which is so rare in the world of Facebook groups. I have very strict guidelines and boundaries to keep the group safe. And I see so many groups where they will just talk about how bad men are and how bad dating is. And it just leads to more anger and dissatisfaction instead of moving you forward on your journey. And so join us there at Your Last First Date. And now for my guest, Madeline Charles. Let's try that again. And now for my guest, Madeline Charles. She blends her professional experience as a licensed psychotherapist with intuition. And she shares equal parts practical and spiritual guidance to support women in creating sexy, secure relationships. I love it. Welcome to the podcast, Madeline.
Hi, Sandy. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
I would love for you to share your love story before we get into how to be more secure, because I know you've been through a process yourself.
Oh my gosh. I really appreciate this question. Thank you. Yeah. So the reason I love supporting women and becoming more secure is because I was that woman. So my love story starts, as I'm sure many listeners can relate, with a lot of heartache, a lot of confusion, getting wrapped up in attracting unavailable men, trying to kind of prove myself, really like getting into fantasy thinking, putting men on pedestals, getting into codependency, all of that. And finally reaching this breaking point of like, what is going on? This is so hard. This hurts so much. And that was where I really had to look within and start cleaning up some of the patterns that we're probably going to talk about today. And from that point, it was like, okay, I really have to take radical responsibility for how I am showing up, engaging with others, seeing myself, and moving myself into a more secure way of relating. And I always love sharing that I actually met my husband with online dating, because it's just another little piece of evidence that it gets to work for people. And we got married last year, and it's just, I love being able to share tidbits about my relationship as well, because it does pave the way to help women see what is possible for them. Not that we're, you know, the gold standard of a couple by any means, but I know that in the process I've been through of, wow, am I ever going to find someone, you know, really those rock bottom moments to, okay, I actually have the daily experience of being cherished, adored, all of these beautiful feelings. It's like, I know what it's like to get on the other side. And so I'm really excited to share with everyone today, some factors that can support them in doing the same.
I love the story. And I love that a couple of things I just wanted to highlight, that you had the awareness of the patterns that weren't working. That's always the first step, right? To be aware. And then you started to clean up some of these patterns by learning new ways to be in relationship and to be responsible. Responsibility is so key. And I just see so many people just love to point fingers, which, you know, I was talking about my Facebook group. It's, we really help people to see, oh, you're blaming others for your problem. We all have a responsibility to see what can we do, which is so empowering. And then you are able to meet your husband online, which a lot of people say online dating doesn't work. So here's living proof that it does. And that relationships are not simple, but when you know yourself really well and you are more secure, you're going to make better choices.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like recognizing that process of becoming secure. It's something that everyone can get started on today, no matter what your dating experience is at this point or your relationship status. It's not something you have to wait to enter a relationship to find. It's not something that you know, it's only available once you're in the dating process. I always like encouraging women. It's like, look at just where you are right now in your current non-romantic relationships, whatever is on your plate. There's a new way to relate to that. And that's going to set the foundation for you to enter the dating scene or refresh the dating scene in a way that's going to be more effective.
Yeah. And not always feel disempowered that somebody else is making all the choices and calling all the shots, which is where so many people feel. I mean, you mentioned putting men on a pedestal. That's a big part of it, right? It's where if you put them on a pedestal, you're always beneath them and you will not be empowered. So let's talk about being secure in love. Like, what is your definition of that?
I think of being secure in love as knowing that you've got your own back, and that no matter what you're navigating in an intimate way, you're going to figure it out and you're going to be okay. And I think that that is like the step one process of this, because it gives you the emotional safety to feel vulnerable, to open up, to more deeply connect to someone else, to let someone really see you, to navigate conflict, to have the capacity to really hold the feel good, blissful moments as well. Because sometimes what I find is it's not just like, oh gosh, you know, something feels off. Now I want to shrink back and like get all worried about that. It's also, oh my gosh, things are going so well. And I can really trust that. It's not that like, when's the other shoe going to drop? Like, what's the catch? That was an energy I used to be in as well. So being secure in love is like through the ups and the downs, I know I'm good. I know I'm going to be okay. I have this self-worth that's intact. And that again, allows me the capacity to navigate the ebbs and flows and have this like internal home base that gives me everything I need to move through the dating and relationship journey in a really successful, positive way.
I love the way that you describe having your own back. I think we look for that in partnership, which, you know, is a callback to be the love you wish to find in the world. If you have your own back, that means that you're going to be okay because you're making choices from a place of your own values, your own core. And I think so many people make choices in reaction to other people's choices. And so I love that you bring up vulnerability. That's such an important part of thriving in a relationship and navigating conflict. I'm working with somebody now who's really struggling with this in his relationship. And then those blissful moments, we had a video that aired today with on Second Act TV, and somebody was talking. The topic was when you're more attracted than the other person, what do you do? And so this guy said, I dated a woman who was out of my league. And so we had a great first date, but I never called her back because she was out of my league. And then a few weeks later, she texted him and said, I had a great time. I thought you did too. Do you want to go out again? Like, why didn't you call me? So he went out with her again and they had another great time and he still didn't call her back because it was out of his league in his mind. And so that's, one of those blissful moments of, oh my God, we had a great time. I better end it now.
Yes, and I find that's not talked about enough. So I really appreciate you, Sandy, bringing in that current example that someone's navigating, because there is a lot of focus, I think, on okay, like, here's how to navigate if someone doesn't feel like the right fit, and here's how to build the faith and trust and keep going, and all of that is really important. But we don't often talk about what happens when we are met with someone where it's like, oh my gosh, this actually is everything I've been looking for, and how that can feel uncomfortable. And that's the other side of being secure, where it's like, but wait a minute, like I deserve this. And that's okay when no one's on a pedestal, then there's this equal playing ground. And I can now have the ability to bring my best self forward because I'm not trying to compare myself to someone else or prove something.
Yeah, I wish more people knew this. So I hope a lot of people are listening to this podcast episode and really take in that message. Let's talk a little bit more about feeling insecure in love. What are some of the other signs of that?
Yeah, so feeling insecure in love often comes down to, like I was sharing, kind of that fantasy thinking or second guessing things, really getting into this place of hypervigilance. So perhaps you're kind of scanning for issues, you're looking for little signs that something is off, like maybe this person had been messaging you frequently and then today they haven't. Hours have gone by and that is just a little thing that you're noticing, you're picking up on, or usually he asks you out for another date right away. He hasn't this time. And so that high alert that can kind of signal to us, oh gosh, something's wrong. I must have done something wrong. It's easy to then go into self-blame and taking like feeling overly responsible for the outcome that's going on in your love life. And we did talk about taking responsibility being an important part, but sometimes being insecure in love means that you're not really looking at the other person and how they're showing up. And if they're a fit for you, it's just more about like, what do I need to do to prove myself? And all of that happens on such a deeper level that we're often not totally conscious of. And so it's looking at, okay, what are the ways that, yeah, you're proving you don't feel totally worthy. You're maybe shape-shifting and trying to portray yourself in a certain way that is more attractive. Like maybe you're trying to write the perfect text response or you're tinkering with your dating profile all the time. Maybe you're trying to come off as really witty or in some way that is not natural to you. So we often will try to lean on these things that we think the other person is going to want to see from us rather than relaxing into just your natural traits and your natural strengths and letting that be enough. And then, of course, being insecure in love is often prone to creating that kind of push-pull dynamic with people where we might get hooked into someone who comes on hot and then they're cold. And we know that there's that kind of anxious avoidant dance that can go on and is really painful to experience. But often, being insecure in love, it's like, you're experiencing that, and you don't maybe know that there's another option available. It can just feel like maybe I don't want to date because this is just too painful. This is how it's going to be. No, thank you. And so it can be easy to go through those big emotional highs and lows, and then unfortunately, kind of throw in the towel or put dating on the back burner, which is like the I believe like the worst thing to do that's like so painful, because that desire is still within you. It's just about addressing it in a more productive way.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Amazon Music Unlimited. You can listen to over 70 million songs and thousands of playlists and stations. Plus, you can now stream your favorite podcasts like Last First Date Radio. You can listen to any song, anytime, anywhere, on any of your devices. Get Amazon Music Unlimited for free for 30 days. Just head on over to getamazonmusic.com/lastfirstdate to learn more and claim this offer. All of the insecure attachments of just looking for problems when there may not be any, and just feeling unsettled and worried that the person's not going to keep choosing you. And what did I do wrong? The self-blame, oh my God. And the shape-shifting. I mean, I can recognize myself in all of these signs, pretty much. The old me was, am I worthy enough? Am I attractive enough? What do I have to do to kind of game the system, which is horrible. It's a horrible way to be, because that's not what a true relationship is based on. Talk to us a little bit about how people get this way.
Yeah. So this is where I think so much compassion can come in, because it's like, okay, like a lot of us didn't, you know, no one chose this. This is a result sometimes of a bit of like our genetic predisposition, and then also a little bit of that nurturing. So it's that nature nurture combo. It's the predisposition, but then also kind of what happened for you in those early developmental years, where perhaps your caregivers gave you mixed messages. You know, perhaps sometimes you were picked up and cared for when you were crying. Sometimes maybe you were left a little bit longer, or you were told to be quiet already, or, you know, things that just felt a little bit unsettled. Maybe there was some chaos in the home where one parent was kind of in and out, or you never quite knew if you could fully depend on them emotionally, physically, or otherwise. And all of that sends signals to us of, I never really know when I can relax and be cared for. And so I've got to kind of be ultra aware of my surroundings. I've got to maybe walk on eggshells. Like if a parent would have big emotional reactions, for instance, it's like, okay, I can't share my emotions because that's not safe. And we internalize those messages. And then of course we grow up, we look for romantic love, and that's our template of relating to people. And even if perhaps you have really great friendships, or you feel confident in your work, or you've got passions going on, you know, we can feel that sense of confidence and security in other areas. And then with love, it gets a little more sticky. And so that's really the origins. And it can be really insightful for everyone to just kind of trace back and say, yeah, what were some of those early messages? And then what were also some of those developmental milestones? I like to think about this, especially, well, for everyone, but when I work with women, it's like, okay, as you were growing up and maybe coming to understand your sexuality, your body image, like what were some of those cultural messages that you received as well that can kind of compound that early developmental insecure imprint? And then you can see, oh yeah, gosh, you know, when I was going through puberty, or I got my first boyfriend, or in college, you know, these certain things happened to me, or I experienced these kind of cultural messages, and that just overlays all of these other things. And so it's super powerful when you start kind of peeling that onion back and you see, okay, it's not just what happened in my childhood. There's been these other milestones along the way that have imprinted as well.
Yeah, so much good information. And the more we know about ourselves, the more we can then take action and make some changes, because we have a clear understanding of how we got here. Not to blame and shame, like you said, compassion. I think that's a magic word, because so many of us just beat ourselves up for the choices we make and the way that we've been. And it's one of the reasons I wrote Choice Points in Dating. It's like, yes, we do have choices. It doesn't matter that you came from a very difficult background and maybe you were expected to achieve and nobody cared about your emotions. I mean, that's such a common thing. And so in the work world, it's going to make sense that we're really good at what we do because we're always achieving and always getting accolades for that. But it's not the same in our romantic lives. And I think a lot of people want to have equality across the board, and I don't believe that we can equate work life and friend life with romance. And it's just so much more complex than that. And so I appreciate all that you shared.
Yeah, that's such a great point, Sandy. I know a lot of times women will come to me, and I'm sure you have a similar experience where there's like a frustration because it's like, well, I know how to succeed in my work life. Like it's A to B to C, like it's very linear and straightforward. And just sometimes my clients that are super high achievers, they'll say like, just tell me what to do, you know, just like, give me, is there like a step-by-step formula here? Like, what don't I know? And they will be scouring the internet for that like magic pill, that like silver bullet of the thing that's going to make it click. And to your point, yeah, love is so much more complex. And I think when we can start to just embrace that this is a different beast and we can like bring a little lightness and humor to that, you know, it's like, okay, like this is going to look different and that's okay. Maybe I'm going to discover a different side of myself through this process because I'm really well versed in this other more linear side. What else could be here? And that self-discovery and approaching it from that, like that richness and that curiosity can be really rewarding as well.
So true. Let's talk about the three keys to becoming more secure in love. What are those, Madeline?
Yeah. So I like to think about it like the three R's. So this is about being regulated in your nervous system. I think that it's important to touch on that piece because this is about bringing your body online. You know, this is about you not just trying to think your way to becoming more secure, but understanding when does your body actually go into maybe a threat response of fight, flight, freeze, fawn. And that can be really eye-opening when you say, oh gosh, like when I haven't heard back from someone, this is what happens to my body. Or when I'm heading out the door on the date, like this is how I'm feeling, and starting to connect those dots and bring in some body-based self-soothing techniques and things to, you know, get your body more grounded. The other is receptivity. So we know that being secure is being able to really receive. It's being able to receive attention, love, care, and to actually hold that and not kind of flinch around it like we're talking about. So the more you're able to really up your self-worth and say, I do deserve this, and this is a natural part of relationship, and I can trust it, the easier it's going to be for you to then extend that same love back and for that to feel just more natural and not like you're kind of fumbling your way through it and not allowing yourself to really deeply let it in. The third R is radiance. So this is something around the energetics. So this is where I like to play with feminine energy and like letting yourself really take up space. So we know that when you're secure, you're willing to take more chances in the world. You're willing to seek opportunities and put yourself out there. And so that radiance is what creates a lot of inviting energy. It lets someone know that you're approachable and you're available for connection. And it's where you're not shrinking anymore. You know, you might play with a different part of your self-expression, or you might be the one that walks up to someone across the store or the meetup group or whatever, and you start the conversation and you just have a little bit more courage because you're like, why not? You know, I'm feeling good about myself because of these other two pieces I've spoke about. And so now I have greater capacity to open up to life and be available for these opportunities that perhaps previously were overlooked because there was that insecure imprint kind of shutting you down or shying you away from it.
So regulated, receptivity, and radiance. Those are so important, all of them. I think the regulating your nervous system and paying attention to your body is always like a shock to people. Like, oh, my body is connected to my brain. And we're so taught to think our way through any problem and not feel our way through issues. And so I love that. And being receptive, I tell women all the time, because I think women have a harder time with receiving compliments, receiving care, especially people who've been independent and on their own for a long time. They just, I got this. You don't have to do anything for me. I'll pay for myself. Don't touch it. Don't lift my bag. Don't do anything. You give them a compliment, they're like deflecting the compliment. Oh, this whole thing, you know, just thank you. Thank you so much. It's just enough of an answer. And the radiance, I have seen this when I was writing my Woman of Value book. To me, a woman of value had that radiance. You could meet her. I met a woman, I remember, on a plane, And she just had this radiance about her. There was a sense of confidence and openness about her. She was with her small child. I think her husband was sitting in the front of her. And there was something so open and lovely and confident about her, where she had space in her heart to be there to talk to a stranger and still be attentive to her daughter and not get riled up by little things that her daughter was doing, because her daughter was probably three. And so, yeah, it's so attractive. Like, I wanted to be around this woman's presence because there was an aura of beautiful energy around her.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about this issue, which I think is really interesting and doesn't get talked about enough, which are the challenges and opportunities for people, especially women who are spiritual. Maybe they've done a lot of work on themselves. They're successful in their work lives, and they really struggle in love. What are some of the reasons for that?
Yeah. So a little bit like we talked about, I think that when we consider what the messages are of like how to be successful and get what you want in life and kind of that traditional path, that is the most straightforward to implement. It's finding success in work. It's having that successful career. And so I think a lot of women have that message growing up. They want that autonomy. They want to pursue their passions. And so that's kind of just where they put their head down and go to. And I think that there's this fantasy really of, oh, like love will happen later on. I'm going to just get through school. I'm going to get my career off the ground. Okay. I'm going to go for this promotion and it'll just come my way. You know, I'll meet him eventually. And then what I often see happens is at a certain point you wake up and you're like, wait, but he hasn't shown up yet. You know, he hasn't just kind of stumbled onto my front door. Okay. And it's like, you know, maybe now I'm the only one my friend group who's not married, or I'm finding myself, you know, post-divorce, midlife, and I am wanting to kind of recreate myself. And this is very different, you know, maybe I'm a widow and like dating looks very different than it was before. And so for whatever reason, I think it's been easier to funnel into that workspace and find success there. And it's safer in a lot of ways. I think that there can be this perceived sense of having more control, because it's like, oh, I know if I just follow these steps, I'm going to get this result. And like we talked about with love, it's stickier than that. And so no matter what point in the dating relationship journey, like I mentioned, maybe you've been single and career focused for a long time, you're post-divorce, you're widowed, whatever, deciding that you're ready for love now, it's like, okay, I do need to do things differently and I can maintain my success and my professionalism, but I also get to find this other side of myself, perhaps a softer side, perhaps a more emotionally connected side, a non-linear side, you know, where yes, there are steps you can take to be effective in the dating process, but it's not as clear cut as just step one, two, three. There's everything emotionally and energetically going on for you as well that we've got to account for. So I think a lot of times that challenge is, oh gosh, I haven't looked at that in a long time. I don't necessarily do emotions, or maybe there's some things about my emotions that feel overwhelming or that I repressed long ago, and I've known how to be successful in this more linear way. So the opportunity becomes seeing the value in that, starting to get comfortable and befriend your emotions, perhaps in a different way than you ever have. And then also understanding how to relate to men in a way that is really going to connect with them, because that is a different skill set. And that can be a learning curve for women as well.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people protest that and say, you're wrong and I don't need to change for a man. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around this. I think I remember years ago when I first started my work as a dating and relationship coach, I met a woman in Manhattan and she's like, what do you do? And I told her, and she was like, oh, I forgot to get married. She was exactly what you're talking about. I was like, yeah, I became really successful and forgot to get married. And I'm watching a show on Hulu. It's called Being Erica. And have you heard of this?
No, but I want to check it out.
Yeah, it's kind of a stupid show, but it's interesting. It's actually about therapy, but in this wacky therapy, this therapist is a person who takes this woman back in time to relive all of her moments of regret. And She's one of the only in the friend group who has not gotten married, not had success in relationships, but she also hasn't had success at work. And through this process, she's now realizing that a lot of her regrets were about people pleasing and not speaking up and just being too agreeable. And things start to really shift in her life as she becomes a little more outspoken. And yeah, so it's really interesting. And there's so many examples of this. And I think the whole understand men part, we are not clones of each other. And yeah, there are strong women. I'm currently working on my third book, and it's about love stories about people who found love later in life. And one of the couples that I interviewed, the woman was a very strong academic. Her work was everything in her life. She never wanted to get married or have kids. And it she kind of stumbled upon it, and then he died, and she ended up remarrying. And she didn't change anything about herself. She married a much softer, more emotional guy who had a family, and she realized, I like being a mom. I like that he brings this softness to me. So that's also something that sometimes happens. Like if you have that very strong, kind of harsher side, you might be attracting softer men. And if you don't like that, then that's when I think you need to look at yourself. What do you think about that?
I think that's such a great point, Sandy, because I do think that like a more nuanced piece of this conversation is that at least I believe, and I think that we're on the same page. It's like we're not telling women to fit into a certain box, like you have to be, the certain way. But it's just worth checking into like what type of relationship dynamic does work for you. Perhaps it's like what you described with this woman, like that softer man really complimented her well. And that's amazing. Like she doesn't necessarily need to become more soft herself. She could have that complimentary energy. But a lot of times, women I find are like, I've just been hardened because I've been independent and single for so long that I'm just accustomed to doing things by myself. But do I ultimately want that? No, I would like to soften. And so there's no right or wrong answer. I think it is just about being honest with yourself about what works for you. And then, of course, there's going to be that complimentary match no matter what side of the spectrum you're on.
Yeah, and I think that the guarded women who go out there because they've been hurt, that's not their true nature. And so I think when you find your true nature, don't shift and shape shift for somebody else, because I think the ones who are hardened are often attracting those softer men who want a mommy, and they hate it. They're like, I don't want to take care of another person, but they're not really showing up as their authentic self. Let's talk about how to go on your last first date. That's my final question. What are your final words of advice for us?
Oh my gosh. Oh, so good. Really, I think everything we've talked about today could set anyone listening up to go on their last first date from this place of, I want this to be my last first date. How do I drop into my true authentic nature, like you were just describing, Sandy, where it's like, let me get really honest with myself about what I deeply desire. Let me look at how I want to show up in the energy that's gonna foster that type of connection. And I really work so much on the trust, faith, and belief piece with my clients. So it's I think that idea of like this could be it. I'm gonna hold that loosely. I'm not gonna get super attached to like it's my last first date, this better be it. But it's like it could be. And how fun and playful and inspiring is that energy? And so really staying connected to that place as well, I think can be so supportive. And that is going to just give you such a great opportunity to connect with someone, and you're going to learn so much from that. And it very well could be your last first date.
Love it. Well, I know you have a free gift for our audience. What is that?
Yeah, so I'm so happy to offer everyone my sexy, successful, and secure in love free masterclass. So if what we've talked about today around insecure attachment and becoming more secure has sparked something in you, you're definitely going to enjoy this free training where I walk you more in depth through my methodology and some simple steps you can start to take to get moving in the direction of secure attachment and attracting the right partner.
Awesome. Well, there'll be a link to that in the show notes. And give us one link maybe to your website, and the others will be in the show notes.
Yeah, so madelinecharlescoaching.com is where you can find me, and then all of the links and things are on there as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Madeline. This has just been a delightful conversation about the most important things I think people need to hear to be able to finally get unstuck and really start attracting in the types of people that they want by first starting within, and how we can become more secure in love so we're not walking around feeling like the man has all the power, or the woman. I mean, men and women listen to this podcast. So yeah, I mean, this is for everyone. We all can learn from Madeline about feeling more secure. And how great is that?
Thank you so much for having me, Sandy. I've loved our conversation so much.
Thank you. And thanks everybody for listening. If you love our show, please share it with your friends, follow the show, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And as always, here's to your last first date. If you are ready to get unstuck, gain new tools, become more empowered, and finally find your last first date, I'd love to talk to you. Fill out an application to be considered for a complimentary half-hour love breakthrough session at lastfirstdate.com/application.